Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of those tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, 3E.
All right. Well, my FanDuel lineup improved yesterday over Sunday's just embarrassing performance, but it still wasn't quite good enough to money. I got to double check and see what my points were here. I did jump up to 122 points, so a little better. But you know, we'll go out and we'll try it again today. And here's what I came up with. Hopefully, this one's going to work out for me. I know there were a lot of expensive pitching out there. Again, as always, you know, pitchers always cost you an arm and a leg. But I went down and I found Jordan Montgomery for $7,300, pitching for the Yankees tonight against the Reds. I think there's good value there. It's a game the Yankees should win. And if Montgomery can hold down the Reds offense, I could get a pretty good start. That, of course, allowed me to spend my money, you know, throughout the lineup. So here we go. At catcher, I went with Evan Gattis for $2,800. He's hitting cleanup for the Astros tonight. My new theory is it's never bad to have an Astro in the lineup. You just got to pick the right one. So Gattis is my first of two Astros. I went with Justin Smoke as my first baseman. He's hitting cleanup for the Blue Jays tonight. He cost me $3,600. I know his career, he's been really bad against Sonny Gray, who's pitching for the A's tonight. I'm hoping maybe I'll get lucky and Gray will be traded before the game starts. But Smoke has been so hot since the All-Star break, basically, that I'm willing to take the chance that he hits Gray tonight. Second base, I went with the other Astro. There's no better player in baseball right now than Jose Altuve. I thought I saw somewhere he's hitting it might have been 680 for the month of July so far or something like that, or the last couple weeks. It was just an unreasonable number for whatever they were talking about. He was a little pricey at $4,300. That's a lot to pay for a second baseman. But he's leading off for the Astros tonight with Springer being dinged up. So, I'm going there. Third base, I went with Manny Machado of the Baltimore Orioles. He cost me $3,500. He's hitting second for them tonight. Shortstop, I went with Francisco Lindor of the Indians. He's $3,600. He's also hitting second for them tonight. Then in my outfield, I went with Domingo Santana of the Brewers. He cost me $3,500. He's hitting cleanup tonight. I figured I had to have one Brewer in the lineup because they're facing my guy, Edwin Jackson. So I figured I needed at least one guy. David Peralta of the Diamondbacks is my second outfielder. I spent $3,400 on him, and he's leading off for Arizona tonight. So I'm hoping that's the extra bets will help me out. And then I rounded out my outfield by spending $3,000 on Randall Grichuk. He's homered in four straight games for the Cardinals. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight. I'm hoping tonight's lucky number five, and I can cash in a little on that. But all right, the quick recap. I got Montgomery pitching, Gattis catching, Smoke at first, Altuve at second, Machado at third, Lindor at short, and the outfield is Santana, Peralta, and Grichuk. As always, this is for the 605 main league on FanDuel. You got about 30 minutes to get your lineup ready. They are saying there is a possibility of rain for the Philadelphia-Houston game, so make sure you check that out if you're going to get in on that game. But, yeah, that's where I'm going with. We'll see if we have some better luck tonight and I can win some freaking money. So there you go. So did you, are you participating today, or are you off here still?
I'm off. I'm having severe internet issues, so it's not even coming out.
So, yeah, and then we did have, again, we had one final, the only afternoon game. I don't know if they scheduled these on purpose like this, but today it was the White Sox beating the Cubs 7-2.
I thought that was it. That was the other one.
That was what? Or yeah, the Cubs, excuse me, the Cubs beating the White Sox. Yeah, the Cubs beating the White Sox 7-2. Sorry, the White Sox won the first game. The Cubs won this one. You know, if you played in the all-day FanDuel League, there were some guys you could have came through with. Ben Zobrist went 3-for-4, scored a run, drove in a run, and walked once, and two of his three hits were doubles. So that would have been he would have been definitely a plus for you. The big Cub to have was you needed to catch Wilson Contreras. 3-for-5 with a run scored, 4 RBIs. One of his hits was a home run. So he had a really big day. The only White Sox with more than one hit was their catcher. Omar Narváez went 2-for-2 and scored one of their runs. The pitcher drove in both their runs, so that wouldn't have helped you in the hitting stats, but oddly, neither starter lasted very long. John Lackey went exactly 5 innings, but he did pick up a win if you went that route. 5 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned. He walked 2 and struck out 5. Now, Carlos Rodon got the start for the White Sox. Now, he only lasted 4 innings, gave up 7 hits, 4 runs. He walked 3 and struck out 11 in 4 innings. So out of the Cubs' 12 outs while Rodon was in the game, 11 of them were strikeouts. As a team, the Cubs struck out 17 times today. But that's the new way baseball goes, and they still won. So there you go. But, yeah, I'm interested. I wonder what fan – yeah, Rodon would have been – it's 3 points for an inning, so that's 12. And is it 3 points for a strikeout? He would have had a relatively decent FanDuel total, even though he only lasted 4 innings. So, you know, definitely odd. Yeah, it was I'm going to describe it as a large home plate today, because the White Sox themselves struck out 9 times. Chris Bryant actually got ejected because of a strikeout call on him that was way inside. Your guy Javier Baez was 0-for-5. He struck out all 5 times. So
it's like the original.
He contributed greatly. You did what to him? So
nothing. I said vintage Baez.
So yeah, it was just you know, but again, you know what, you know, this is how baseball is now. You know, this is what sabermetrics have done to baseball, where strikeouts don't mean anything. You know, it guys don't matter. They don't shorten up. They don't try to hit the other way. You know, everybody is here to hit home runs. That's the bottom line. There's no other questions asked. Everybody is a power hitter now. It was embarrassing today watching Ben Zobrist try to sacrifice bunt. He made 2 attempts and didn't get anywhere close to what you would think would have been a sacrifice bunt attempt. And now this is a guy you would think would be able to lay down a bunt. And he wasn't even close. But again, you know, that's baseball. You know, nobody needs to bunt anymore because we all want to hit home runs. And it's just kind of what we deal with. So there you go.
A lot of strikeouts. 17, 26 combined.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, that's the reason, that's part of the reason the game went well over 3 hours, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of strikeouts make the game go faster. It would even went quicker if the one replay, well, of course, maybe it wouldn't have because they got it wrong and called the guy out. Even though he was clearly safe on the replay, I don't know what they were looking at, but they... You could see on the the television replay that he was safe. I don't know how New York missed it, but it ended the inning, so it did make the game go quicker. They didn't have to go back on the field and have another at bat or anything. So that was a big plus.
You've got to wonder, do they have the pace of player in that room saying, hey, he's going to make the game longer, call him out?
You know, they might, but what was interesting is, you know, I always listen to the White Sox broadcast when they do these games, because let's face it, Len Casper and Jim Deshays are a joke, where it's Hawk, because technically it's a road game, so it's Hawk Harrelson and Steve Stone. Hawk brought up an interesting point, and I was kind of like, yeah, this is actually possible. You know, in New York, they kind of rotate umpires through to sit there and review the plays. It's not like the NFL where they have a set of officials that go and this is their job. They're review referees. The Major League Baseball actually uses actual umpires who have umped games during the year. Now, I don't know who the home plate umpire was today. I could probably find it out here real quick. But what could be interesting, Dan, and I would love to get your take on it, you know, today he had a relatively heated exchange with Chris Bryant. And then, of course, you know, Joe Maddon came out and had to give his 2 cents after Chris Bryant got ejected. Now Maddon didn't get ejected. He didn't get as heated as, you know, I probably thought he was going to, because it was a rough strike zone today. But what's interesting is now when this guy's the replay ump and Lance Barksdale was the home plate ump today. So say Lance Barksdale is up in the replay booth the next time in New York and a call comes in involving the Cubs and Chris Bryant. Now this guy's human, Dan. Does he hold a grudge? And does that affect his decision? Right. I mean, they're not supposed to, but do they?
I mean, I would never know, but I think we'd have to wait to see if that actually comes up.
So, you know, because that would be something, you know, kind of interesting to know. I mean, I never really thought of it that way. I guess I didn't realize they were rotating actual rotating actual umpires through New York. I thought they had their own set of crew who did that stuff. But yeah, it was a pretty interesting point. I mean, you know, again, we're talking about human beings who, you know, could be upset with other human beings. I mean, Dan and I know people who have been carrying grudges for, probably upwards of 10 years, maybe longer. Against other guys in the wrestling business. So, you know, it's possible. I just thought it was kind of an interesting point by Hawk. And, you know, normally, I mean, we know Hawk, he can be kind of a goof at times, but I thought this was a pretty valid point by him. I mean, do you semi-agree with Hawk? I know he's not your favorite, but.
No, I think it can't happen. I mean, it shouldn't.
Oh, just kind of weird, I thought.
I think
all right, Dan, so every...
That needs to change about the game, and not only this game, but all of them, is that when it comes to referee umpires, there really is no accountability.
Yeah, I think they need their own crew. You know, you need guys who are just dedicated to review. You know, this is your job. You're going to be the review guy. You're going to stay in New York. You're going to handle the reviews, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't think rotating the guys like that is really, really the best way to go about it. But
well, it gives you a chance. You know, you got to be fair. Everyone gets a trophy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess in a way it's a nice little change of pace for an umpire. You know, I mean, he gets to get off the road, a little bit, even though I guess he does still have to travel to New York. But, you know, you're not out in the, you know, the hot weather or whatever here in July. So, you know, just kind of, you know, one of those things. So I, you know, I can see that being a, you know, a good deal for everybody, but yeah, I think you need guys who specialize in it and, you know, maybe know what to look for a little more when you're kind of looking at a video. Cause again, like I said today, I don't understand what they were looking at. The guy was clearly safe and they, you know, they called him out on the field and then the review, they upheld it. And it was, I didn't get it. It made absolutely no sense. Except for the fact that it was a game that was out of hand. The play didn't really matter and it ended an inning. So the game got going faster. So that, you know, that was the only reason for really calling him out. And it was like, okay, let's just keep going here. So, you know, just kind of worked out.
The whole replay process takes too long to begin with.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a joke as a whole, you know, again, it appears that you and I are the only two who've noticed this. I have heard a little bit more about it lately. Then I actually heard Bob Brenly bring it up when we had the free extra innings preview. I think it was last week. They had a replay that took forever. I think it ended up being 4 or 5 minutes. And he was explaining on how they need to figure out how to quicken the pace of this because it just, you know, it kills a team's momentum or the game or, you know, you're just kind of sitting there. So they've got to really figure this one out, and there are obviously faster ways to do it. It's just they have to stop worrying about pitch clocks and trips to the mound and all the other BS and fix this first. So but you know, Dan, it's that time of year. You know, we got 6 days until the non-waiver trade deadline, and oh God, they just don't shut up, and you know, nobody's ever really breaking anything new. It's just the same thing over and over on who's trading for Sonny Gray, and the Rangers are ready to move Yu Darvish if the deal's right. And that seemed kind of stupid to me because in reality, don't you move anybody if the deal's right? You know, or just about anybody. Right, you know, you move just about anybody if the deal's right. So that was kind of a stupid report. I guess he just needed to put something out. But what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, especially with this new wild card stuff, how do you really decide who's a seller? Now, you know, in these businesses, I know everybody keeps telling everybody that the Orioles and Rangers are sellers. Okay, well, I get it. They're each 3 games under 500. But when you look at it, they're 3.5 games out of the wild card. One, you know, 5-game winning streak, and they're right back in it. But yet, you know, all I hear is these teams have to sell, these teams have to sell. Now, you know, they said the same thing about the Royals, who are now on a 6-game winning streak and actually hold the second wild card spot. You know, Dan, I'm just kind of, again, this is another thing where I'm infinitely lost by the stupidity of the media and just their love for prospects. It's just killing me here, Dan, because like today I heard the Orioles need to dump 3 relievers. Zach Britton, Darren O'Day, and Brad Brock to rebuild their farm system. Okay, I'm three and a half games out of the wild card, and I'm going to get rid of my 3 best relievers and probably go down the tubes because I won't be able to hold a lead very well to rebuild my farm system that's not going to help me for 3, 4, maybe even 5 seasons when I have a team full of veteran, regular, everyday players. You gotta help me here, Dan. I don't get it. You know, why am I rebuilding a farm system when I'm running, you know, Manny Machado, Chris Davis, Mark Trumbo, Adam Jones? You know, I think all these guys have been in the majors for 5+ seasons. Why, you can't rebuild with a team like that. And we've seen rebuilding on the fly doesn't work. I guess I'm just fed up, Dan. I mean, I'm tired of listening to, you got to give this away for prospects. How many prospects are out there, Dan?
Well, I mean, the White Sox have them all, but, you know, that doesn't really
prove anything. Yeah, the White Sox and the Braves have them all. They're the top two rated farm systems. Neither team's going to the playoffs. And obviously, they're not looking for these type of relievers right now. You know, the last thing the White Sox need is a Zach Britton or a Brad Brock or a Darren O'Day. And, you know, the Braves are kind of in the same place. Hell, the Braves would love to move their closer, Jim Johnson, if they could find somebody to take them from even more prospects. So I don't get it. You know, like I could see, okay, you know, you go to the Dodgers, you move one of those guys to LA for a couple of their guys because they have a really rich farm system as well. You know, because you can deal with giving away one of them, even if it's Britton. You know, you could probably, as much as it would suck to see him go, you could probably live without him. You know, and you could get a little infusion that way. But, you know, yeah, you give away all three of these guys to see Michael Givens or Donnie Hart close? I get it. You've got a few teams to jump, but one hot streak. And as of late, you know, the Orioles offense seems to be, playing a little better. You know, they put up 9 runs in their last game against Houston. They beat them. They put up 5 against Tampa Bay. You know, Kevin Gausman finally pitched like an ace last night. They ended up winning 5-0. Tampa's one of those teams they have to beat. You know, and I understand, you know, they probably need a starting pitcher more than anything. But you know, they don't have the prospects to go out to get one. I don't know. You know, the more I hear about this, I mean, like if these idiots would have ran the Royals, you know, they would have traded Hosmer, they would have traded Moustakas, they would have traded Kane. You know, they would have gotten rid of everybody, and instead of being in the second wild card position, and just, I think they're only, what are they, a game or so behind Cleveland? Yeah, they're a game and a half behind Cleveland for first place in the Central. The Royals would probably be battling the White Sox for last place. Now, I get it. You know, I don't expect the Royals to be able to sign Hosmer and Moustakas and Kane this offseason. You know, a couple of them, or I'm guessing 2 out of 3 will probably go. But why shouldn't they go for it when they have the chance here, Dan? I don't understand why you settle for losing.
Well, because the idea now is if you're not in it by the All-Star break, you might as well for 5 years down the road. At least that's what the theory seems to be.
So, yeah, it's so baffling to me because, you know, again, you're going out and you're mortgaging your future on, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. Okay, that's, you know, how many of them are actually going to hit? You know, I mean, you can't guarantee that, you know, it's great that the White Sox and the Braves have these wonderfully rated farm systems. You know, we talked about it before. Everybody complained when the Diamondbacks gave up what they did to get Shelby Miller. Now, Miller hasn't been very good for them. That's been obvious. But Aaron Blair hasn't established himself as a major league pitcher, and Dansby Swanson is losing playing time because he's struggling so much. So while the Braves got a couple of what were considered big-time prospects, you know, nothing's capitalized yet. I mean, I'm sure Swanson has a long career ahead of him. And, you know, I mean, I'm assuming maybe Blair will figure it out. But, you know, did it hurt them to make that trade? No, I don't think so. So you know, it's baffling that, you know, everybody is in love with, you know, I got to get that ball, man. I got to get those prospects. Dan, I can't go anywhere without prospects. So, Dan, I'm no longer making fantasy trades with you unless you include prospects. All right?
I guess I'll have to open up the NA spot next year, huh?
Yes. You'll have to draft a bunch of NA guys and then include them in any deal that you think you're going to make with me. Otherwise, I'm going to refuse it. So.
Well, and I mean, why do you think when it came All-Star break or All-Star game, it was getting over the top with Joe Buck, but the pumping up of the Astros, you know, because the Cubs did it, but then by the All-Star break, they were seemingly on the downslide, so no one wanted to talk about them, especially since only like two guys were at the All-Star game. So then they just bugged the hell out of the Astros, and how exciting are you to watch, and what's it like to play on your team, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Joe Buck asked me the dumbest questions I've ever heard, which, you know, isn't far off for him. You know, and I mean, I think it's good that the Astros are able to do it, but part of me hopes that they don't, just so that people get off this prospect train.
Well, yeah, and now, you know, you also have to realize, you know, when you look at the Astros, you have to look how long it took them to get there. And when you look at what they've got now, they really went out and added pieces. You know, I mean, while they do have obviously some of their prospects there, you know, don't forget, they added Brian McCann. They added Josh Reddick. They added Carlos Beltran. Even a guy like Norichika Aoki has been really helpful in them getting to where they are this year. So while they're, you know, obviously been the best team in the American League so far, you know, they're really not doing it with all prospects. You know, and it was kind of the same way with the Cubs. The Cubs knew when they had to go out and add veteran guys. The Cubs did it with pitchers. You know, the Astros did it with hitters. You know, and like, I mean, if you even want to add farther, you can't really call, you know, Yuri Gurriel a prospect because he came from Cuba pretty much ready to play. So, you know, pitching-wise, obviously, they're using a lot of their prospects. I know, good news for you, Dallas Keuchel's supposed to come back. I think he makes a rehab start Saturday, or maybe he's coming back to the major Saturday. So he's going to be back up real soon. That's a big plus for them. But, yeah, I mean, it's their team isn't as prospect-heavy as you think. You know, just, and I mean, there, you know, there are the guys who came up through their system, but, you know, Altuve has been here how long now? You know what, it's been 5 years? Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I mean, he's coming up on, you know, being like a 5-year vet and stuff. So, you know, obviously he's past the prospect stage. You know, George Springer's been here, you know, I think this is his third year. So I don't think you can really call him, you know, while he's not a veteran yet. I mean, he's obviously past his rookie stage. You know, Correa, you know, again, what's he's in his second or third year. So, you know, these guys have been here now a little while, but it took this team a lot longer to get to where people thought they would have been than I think anybody believed it would. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's fun, you know, I mean, you know, I guess it's fun for everybody to talk about, and you get to speculate because, you know, you're, you know, you get the fun of projecting out this guy. How is this guy going to end up being in, you know, however many years? So, but, you know, I mean, we're looking at, you know, Houston's had what? They had the one playoff appearance last year, or excuse me, 2015. They didn't make it last year, but, you know, before that, I mean, they lost 92 games, 111 games, 107 games, 106 games. You know, the last winning record they had was 2008. That's a long rebuild, Dan.
9 years.
So, you know, I mean, you got to kind of decide. I mean, was it worth, you know, what was it worth it? I guess if you get the World Series championship, maybe it was. But yeah, you definitely need to figure things out, I guess, a tad bit faster might be the way to, you know, way to go about it. So, but yeah, it's just, I mean, it's, you know, it's just incredibly, it can be incredibly frustrating because it just invades every aspect when somebody wants to talk about baseball. You know, it's this time of year, and, you know, if they had some legitimate stories or some possible upgrades, I mean, like the best story so far is they're saying if the A's do move Sonny Gray, they want a young center fielder in the deal. So, you know, that kind of gave a little bit of a hint on which teams might be able to pull off this deal. You know, so that was, you know, that was possible.
Well,
but,
you know, I loved hearing with the Cubs trade Russell back to Oakland for Sonny Gray.
Yeah. I don't know. Does he play center field?
No, but that was just one of the, you know, one of the really intelligent ones that came up with. And then like, well, I'm sure they would love to have him back. Well, it's obvious, but it would be logjammed.
Yeah,
in position.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, the other team, you know, I think you and I are both just kind of baffled with how bad they've been. You know, the San Francisco Giants, you know, they're 38-63. Obviously, it didn't help that they lost Bumgarner for a lovely chunk of the season. But, you know, everybody's talking about how they need to sell now. And it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, do the Giants need to sell? Or are they just having a bad year? You know, I mean, if you give away these guys, aren't you going to have a bad year for the next five?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, obviously the tough part is like they were talking about how, you know, well, you know, they can trade Brandon Belt and, you know, get Buster Posey out from behind the plate. All right, well, is Nick Hundley the guy you want catching full-time when you do that? I mean, you got to realize somebody's got to replace Buster, and his numbers aren't bad. You know, Posey's hitting .321. You know, and I get it. Okay, batting average doesn't mean anything. You know, that's really great for a catcher. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, nobody's going to want Johnny Cueto because if you trade him, he'll probably opt out. All right, nobody wants the contract you signed Jeff Samardzija to. So, you know, I mean, is it one of those things, you know, and I mean, it looks more and more to me where it's like, you know, I think they just kind of need to ride it out, you know, set things up for next season. You know, they do have some holes to plug. They could probably use, you know, an upgrade at third base. I don't think Sandoval's that, even though they signed him to the deal. You know, they definitely need an upgrade in left field. You know, I don't know if maybe, you know, maybe they have somebody in the minors we'll see here come September. Who knows, but you know, I just don't see, you know, throwing in the towel like people want them to do. Yeah, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like they were talking yesterday, if Matt Cain had a good start, that the Giants would deal him. Dan, who the hell would want Matt Cain? You know, and I used to be a big Matt Cain, you know, but injuries have derailed this guy. I mean, you're not getting nothing from Matt Cain. He could have went out and pitched 7 shutout innings yesterday, and nobody was getting, you weren't getting anything for him.
No, and I mean, Kenny Williams is obviously out of control and stuff. Otherwise, you could have traded him to the White Sox.
Yeah, so, you know, it seems like just such a weird situation for the Giants. You know, if they move a guy, it probably will be Eduardo Nunez, because while he plays third base for the Giants, he is that super utility guy that everybody loves. So I wouldn't be surprised if a team comes to them and talks to them about Nunez. You know, I think they have the prospect behind them is that, what is it? It's Wang, right? I got to look up his name here because I'm never going to remember it. But I did believe his last name was Wang. Yeah, at least I got that right. Jae-Yoon Wang is their prospect there who could take over at third base if they were to move Nunez, unless Sandoval comes up. So who knows, you know, what they would do there. But, yeah, I kind of find it laughable that, you know, that you and it's so funny because they're like, well, they really need to do this. Why do they have to do that? I mean, you know, Dan, aren't the Giants, as they're put together, if they come in healthy, contenders next year?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially if Melanson comes back.
Right. You know, you get Melanson back healthy, you get a full year of Bumgarner healthy. You know, maybe Cueto is back to being Johnny Cueto. You know, he's had a bit of a down year, but that happens to guys. You know, if he stays and doesn't opt out, I don't have a problem with Samardzija as my number three. I just think they overpaid for him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, I still love hearing over the weekend some, you know, and you've got to think before you talk and really think it through. And, oh, I'd like for the Cubs to go out and get an Arc fan. That'd be a great deal. Well, number one, who are you sending to San Francisco? Why would you rent that guy? And number two, number three, you already have about three guys to play that position. What would be the sense of picking up another guy?
Yeah, it's just kind of like,
you need a wheel
okay.
For this. And I mean, leadoff hitter or not, who's to say that Madden would keep him up there?
Right. That's the odd thing behind it all is just because you bring a guy in who looks like a leadoff hitter, doesn't mean he's going to lead off here. So. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's like I almost want it to be over. I almost just want the next week to fast forward by so we can kind of move along from this. And I just don't happen to listen to the stupidity, but sadly it's there all the time. So, all right, Dan, I learned something. Well, I couldn't say learn because I probably knew this all along. But interesting NFL theology, let's call it here, or just theory, however you want to look at it, with, of course, the most probably dysfunctional team in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys. All right. Now, you know, Dan, we've talked about Ezekiel Elliott. He got busted for speeding, and not only speeding, he was doing over 100 miles an hour. He had a domestic violence investigation, and he's also been investigated, or he's being investigated for assault. Okay, now, the Cowboys have stood by him. You know, they're with him all the way because, Dan?
He's the number one draft pick.
Right, because he's talented. You know, we talked about when they signed Greg Hardy, who, you know, was originally convicted of that domestic violence, but then won his appeal because the witness magically disappeared after she received a large cash payment from Greg Hardy. They defended him. Jerry Jones defended him to every length he possibly could while he was, because he could sack the quarterback and he was a very good player for him. Now, Dan, what I learned today is if you're a fringe special teams player, even if someone steals your identity and tells the police that he's you and gives them all your information without an ID, and then an arrest warrant goes out for you because you missed the court date, you get cut by the Dallas Cowboys. So now this actually happened yesterday. Lucky Whitehead, he's a wide receiver slash return man for the Cowboys. He's one of the bottom guys on the roster. In Virginia, I think it was it earlier this month or in June 22nd, a man was charged with shoplifting. He identified himself as Lucky Whitehead, and he proceeded to give, I believe he gave Whitehead's birth date and his social security number, but he didn't have a photo ID. So the police took him as Lucky Whitehead. You know, they arrested him, they processed him. I don't know if it doesn't say if he bonded out or if he was just let go on his own recognizance. This gentleman missed his court date, so they put out an arrest warrant for Lucky Whitehead. Well, the Cowboys found all this out yesterday, and they released Lucky Whitehead. Now, today, it has come out that this wasn't Lucky Whitehead in Virginia. Again, it was just someone who stole his ID. Now, the Cowboys are saying that they released him. And they're not going to bring him back, even though he didn't do anything wrong, Dan.
Maybe he can find a routine, right?
You know, I mean, it's always possible he catches on somewhere else, but it just doesn't it seem kind of dirty that this is how they did this. I mean, you know, we're talking about the Cowboys here who have players, you know, they've already got a guy I believe was going to miss the first four games because he failed a drug test. He hasn't been suspended. They have a few other guys that have committed crimes in the offseason that the NFL hasn't ruled on yet. Here's a guy who, and they didn't cut any of those guys. Here's a guy who didn't commit the crime he was accused of, but he's out of a job, because he's a bottom of the roster guy, and it makes a statement. You know, the Cowboys are making a statement that they'll stand up against shoplifting, but God forbid if you commit domestic violence, you can stay on this team. I just don't know, Dan. It just seems just so terribly stupid. So
backward.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that you know. I mean, and obviously, you know, this is how it's going to be. You know, if you're talented, you can get away with these kind of things. you know, it literally, like, you know, the only reason Aaron Hernandez isn't still in the NFL is because he killed somebody. Or he was convicted of killing somebody, I guess we should say. That's the only reason he isn't actually, well, that and the fact that he's dead. But, you know, he would still be in the NFL right now if he wouldn't have been arrested for murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the scary thing about it. You know, I mean, Greg Hardy found a team after he, you know, not only committed domestic violence, but I believe he threatened his, I guess it was his girlfriend at the time. He showed her all these weapons and what he would do to her and stuff. But yet he still got another job. Michael Vick killed dogs and got another job.
Several jobs.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I'll give Vick credit. He has done everything he could to try to make up for what he did. I don't think he could ever do it, but he did try, you know, he has tried, and you know, like now he's actually an interim coach in Chiefs training camp. So he's working on becoming a coach. So he's attempted to make it up, but like Greg Hardy has never tried to make anything up. You know, Aaron Hernandez never did. He always claimed he was innocent. You know, I believe there's a former wide receiver, I think a Panthers wide receiver by the name of Ray Carruth, who's in jail for murder. You know, but he was incredibly talented. So, you know, if he wasn't in jail, he would probably be on a roster. You know, we see it all the time. If you are talented, you know, you're going to get these second chances, or third or fourth or fifth or however many you need to try to get your life straightened out. And I just think it's kind of sad that this guy legitimately didn't do anything, and they're just, well, no, we're not bringing him back. We don't care. So, you know, and again, I get it. He's not a star player. That's why they're doing it. So hopefully he'll catch on. He can keep an NFL job. And, but yeah, I just thought it was pretty crappy. Just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth and kind of made me dislike the Cowboys. I don't know. How about you?
No, I've never really been a fan, so.
So yeah, you know, that also made it easier. But all right, Dan, we have the other news story that won't go away, mostly because the Mickey Mouse Network is so invested in the NBA that they need an NBA story at the top of all their shows every day. Who do you got in the fight between LeBron James and Kyrie Irving if they decide to throw down? Because it was reported anonymously today, Dan, to your guy Stephen A. Smith. LeBron supposedly said if Kyrie was in front of him, he would punch him in the face. So who you got in that fight?
Did he elbow him in the face?
Maybe. You know, I'm sure he did probably before. You know, well, didn't Kyrie elbow LeBron in the face and they called a foul on a player from the other team?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I think I would go with Kyrie.
Yeah.
Because LeBron would just
flop. So, yeah, I just, you know, now, you know, in the middle of the fight, would LeBron call timeout and try to find a playmaker? So, you know, and interestingly, Dan, our guy Derrick Rose agreed to a one-year, $2.1 million deal with the Cavaliers today. So if they do decide to trade Kyrie, it's going to be the Derrick Rose and LeBron James show. How does that work? Are you excited to see D. Rose in a Cavs uniform?
Not excited, but, I mean, good for him. He's finding a way. He'll finally get to the championship, which I think is funny because I forgot who wrote the article, but they already, you know, they obviously, and just like everyone else, has the Cavs going to the finals. So in the article, flat out says, well, you know, Rose will get to the finals finally.
Yeah, and, you know, oddly, you know, he signed for a really small number in, you know, this NBA system, but yeah, in a way he did a smart thing because, you know, the more it looks and sounds, you know, LeBron is probably leaving Cleveland after next season, which is part of the reason Irving wants out. He doesn't want to be stuck there when James leaves, You know, so that's part of the reason he's asking for a trade. But, you know, Rowe's on just a one-year deal. You know, he can go right back out on the free agent market again if he has a good season. You know, he can make more money. Maybe he can follow LeBron to the Lakers because, you know, right now all indications are pointing that that's where he's going to end up. So
he'll be the new Ray Allen.
You know, yeah, I don't know. You know, I guess he wants to play alongside Lonzo Ball. So, however it goes.
I meant Rose, if he follows LeBron around, to be the new Ray Allen.
Yeah, you know, Ray Allen, Richard Jefferson, Mike Miller, all those guys who kind of hung on wherever LeBron went, be it Miami or Cleveland. You know, I think there's still a few of those guys on the Cavaliers' payroll, even though they're out of the NBA now. I think LeBron has still found a way to get them paid. But, yeah, you know, I mean, so I guess as a whole, it's a good deal for D. Rose. You know, if he could stay healthy, he had a solid year with the Knicks. Of course, he had his injuries like we fully expected because, well, it's D. Rose. I assume he'll get hurt this year, too. You know, he'll probably miss 10, 20 games just because of injury. But I believe he's an upgrade. You know, they ended up with Deron Williams as the backup point guard last year. I believe Rose is an upgrade over that. If Kyrie sticks around, Rose is a starter. That's a little more iffy, but, you know, you got LeBron. You're still going to win the East. I honestly think, Dan, you could play point guard for the Cavaliers and they could still win the East. So, can you shoot the three?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you'd have to work on that because that's all you got to do in the end. You know, that's how you got to do it now in the NBA. You got to be able to shoot the three. So, but yeah, I don't know. You know, I know obviously we've got like a gazillion other things going on, but I kind of understand where Kyrie's coming from. You know, he doesn't want to be, and I guess the best way to look at this is the Scottie Pippen to LeBron James. Because, you know, Dan, I mean, we talk about, you know, the NBA all winter and, you know, now all summer. And the one guy who dominates everything is LeBron James. I mean, you know, so I can see where Irving would want to kind of get out and kind of strike out on his own and try to make his own name. But is he going about it the right way, in your opinion?
Not really, but, you know, like you said before, it's the Players League, so they can kind of more or less do what they want and get away with it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, that's a definite. I mean, the NBA players are, you know, far and away they have the best union out of any of the big four because, you know, they really kind of, you know, not only is their salary cap continue to go up and guys are just making absurd amounts of money, but, you know, there's always a lot of, you know, if the owners did it, it would be considered collusion, but there's a lot of players for different teams being very friendly and attempting to put these deals together behind closed doors and all that other stuff. So, I don't know. Just one of those odd things. But the other story I heard, Dan, I'd be interested to know what you think of this. How would you feel about Carmelo Anthony to Oklahoma City? Apparently the Thunder have inquired what the Knicks would need to get that deal done.
I guess the only issue was that Paul George and he played the same.
They could probably, you know, with the NBA now, they could probably split. You know, one of them could probably play guard and the other one could play forward. Or in the league now, you know, since nobody posts up, they could both easily play forward. Back in the day, they would have both played the same position, and that would have been an issue, but not now. So, can Westbrook, George, and Anthony be enough to compete with Golden State?
I think it would be fun to watch, but I don't know.
You know, You know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, it seems more and more like Carmelo's going to end up in the Western Conference. You know, obviously it's more of an up-tempo style than, you know, he's been in the East a long time now. How do you think he's going to do there? You know, I mean, are they going to have to, you know, I guess the big question, will he be in shape to handle that kind of style of up and down the floor? You know, he's not really used to that style of basketball.
I think he'll be fine. I mean, he can pass the ball and actually get the assist.
Yes, to Russell Westbrook. Oh, so, you think he's got a, I don't know if I want to call it reinvent, but does he have to change his game a little? Because, you know, he's not a knockdown three-point shooter. He's good, you know, inside, you know, 15 to 18. He's, hell, he may be the best player in the NBA in that area still, you know, at his age. But that, you know, that's slowly but surely that part of the game is phasing out. You know, if he moves over to the Western Conference, does he have to, I don't know, let's call it an upgrade to his game and hit those threes?
I mean, I don't know. I think that they can adjust around him and he can take the role that he's had and stay inside, because I mean, let's be honest, not everyone can shoot threes and not everyone's supposed to just shoot threes all day.
I don't know, it seems like that's all they do, doesn't it though?
Yeah, but that's all the new guys. I mean, you can't, I would like to be expecting Derrick Rose to take over and clean shooting threes all day. It's not likely. It's not going to happen to, you know, guys like that. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that game goes, because you'll have Rose and LeBron who aren't, you know, big-time three-point shooters. They could still drive to the basket.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just so used to him in the East that seeing him in that Western Conference style would be different for me.
Yeah, but he played in Denver for so long. That's the West.
Yeah, but I guess, but you know, you really kind of associate him as a Knick, don't you? I mean, I think he was in New York a lot longer than he was in Denver, wasn't he?
That I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, just one of those. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure he would be fine. It's just one of those, I don't know, one of those goofy things I always kind of wonder about is, you know, guys get older, if the style change would, you know, affect them. Or, you know, even like, you know, when LeBron goes over there in, you know, good old 2018, you know, how does that affect his game? Because they're, you know, they're up and down the floor on the Eastern Conference. But I don't know. Again, like I said, it's probably just me. Oh, all right. The music means Dan and I are going to take off. Hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. We'd appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Dan and I are also on Twitter if you want to hunt us down. A big thanks for listening live. Dan and I really appreciate you doing that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.